Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi, with the Women's Initiative of the OU. My name is Dina Rabinovich, and I will be learning with you the Mizmorim composed by Asaf. Asaf composed a total of 12 Mizmorim. The first was Mizmor Nun. This Mizmor, Ayin Tet, is his eighth. He will speak for the next four Mizmorim, concluding with Mizmor Pei Gimel, a Mizmor for Asaf. This Mizmor, like Mizmor Ayin Dalet that preceded it, focuses on the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. We will compare and contrast the two Mizmorim in a moment, but beforehand, perhaps let us ask here what we should have asked earlier. How is the Chorban, a destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, a fitting topic for a Mizmor, a song? We could understand a dirge, we could understand a lament, we could understand a kina, but a Mizmor? While not akin to Nero fiddling while Rome burned, we still must ask, why did Asaf see fit to sing? One answer is suggested by a midrash and a pasuk in the fourth parak of Megillat Eicha. The pasuk describes how God in his anger burned the foundations of Tzion. Kila Hashem et chamato, shafach charon apo, vayatzet esh b'tzion v'tochal yesodoteha. God vented his fury, he has poured out his fierce anger, he has kindled the fire in Tzion, which has devoured the foundations thereof. The midrash Eicha Rabbah offers the following mashal, or parable. To what is it similar? This is the typical language to begin a mashal. It is like a king who made a special chuppah for his son. He whitewashed the structure and painted it beautifully. And then the son started going out with the wrong crowd. In response, the king went to the chuppah, tore off the curtains, broke the poles, destroying it completely. As the king is destroying the beautiful chuppah he made, the son's tutor took out a flute and began to sing. They said to the tutor, "The king is so angry at his son that he destroyed the special chuppah he made. You are sitting and playing a song?" Answered the tutor, "I am singing because the king destroyed the chuppah and did not let out the full force of his anger on his son." Similarly, everyone said to Asaf, "HaKadosh Baruch Hu just destroyed the Beit HaMikdash and you sit and play a song?" To which Asaf responds, "I am singing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu let out the full force of his anger on wood and stone, and not on Bnei Israel." Here too, Asaf is singing that Hashem turned his anger on the foundations of the city, destroying the Beit HaMikdash, burning the wood, but leaving the people intact. The Mizmor is divided into two sections. The first one is a kina, a lamentation. The second part is a tchina, a plea. Let us examine the first part. Mizmor Ayin Dalet had visions of the fires still smoldering, axes hacking away at the foundation of the Mikdash, enemies roaring in the Mikdash and setting up their flags. Mizmor Ayin Tet seems a little removed, a little bit after the destruction, when we see the after effects. We hear of vengeance smoldering. We have images of tumah, impurity. Ba'u goyim b'nachalatecha, tim'u et hechal kodshecha, samud Yerushalayim li'iyim. Other nations have come into your state, they have defiled your holy temple. They made Yerushalayim into ruins. We have images of bodies that have become fodder for birds. Natsnu et nivlat avadecha ma'achal le'ofa shamayim b'sar chasidecha l'chayto aretz. The corpses of your servants have become food for the birds of the heavens. The flesh of your faithful has become food for the wild animals on land. We have images of blood spilled all around. Shafchu damam kamayim svivot Yerushalayim ve'ein kover. The enemies have spilled blood, and it is flowing like water around Yerushalayim. There is no one to bury them. We feel the shame, the scorn, and contempt of the neighbors. Hayinu cherpa lishcheinenu, la'ag vakeles lisvivotenu. We have become a disgrace to our neighbors, an object of scorn and contempt to those who surround us. The first part concludes with a query, for how long will you be angry? Adma Hashem te'enaf lanetzach, tiv'ar kemo esh kinatecha. For how long, Hashem, will you rage forever, showing us a powerful anger that never ceases? This is an ongoing pain, felt after the initial attack, all the more painful because it keeps on going without an end in sight. The Mizmor then transitions to the next section, a supplication, and begins with the following request. Shifoch hamatcha el hagoyim asher lo yeda'ucha ve'al mamlachot asher b'shimcha lo karau. Pour out your wrath on the nations that did not know you, on the kingdoms that never called you by your name. These words are very familiar. They are recited every year as part of the Seder, immediately after the meal. It is the phrase that is recited in conjunction with the pouring of the fifth cup of wine, the Koshel Eliyahu, and opening the door for Eliyahu Hanavi. The words are very harsh, vengeful. They sound very mean and discriminatory, almost implying that all the other nations deserve to be on the receiving end of God's wrath. The next pasuk limits and clarifies our request for vengeance and perhaps puts it in perspective. Ki achal et Yaakov ve'et naveo heshamu, for they have devoured Yaakov and laid waste to his habitation. We ask Hashem to take out his anger on the nations, for these are the nations that have harmed us, his people. We ask Hashem to destroy the people who destroyed us. But even as we ask Hashem to act, we acknowledge that we are not blameless, that there is a reason that Hashem sent these nations to punish us. The reason is implied in the next pasuk. Al tizkor lanu avonot rishonim, do not remember about us our earlier sins. Quick, send your mercy and protect us because we are weak. We ask Hashem to forgive our sins, not only to have mercy on us, his nation, because we are his nation, but for the sake of his name. Azreinu Elokei Yishenu al Dvar Kevod Shemecha, v'hatzilenu v'chaper al chatotenu l'man Shemecha. Help us, Hashem, who saves us, for the sake of your name. Save us and forgive us for our sins because of your name. What does it mean to ask Hashem to save us for the sake of his name? The next pasuk provides an answer. Lama yomru hagoyim aye Elohehem. Why should the nations be able to say about us, where is your God? Because the nations will not understand that you, Hashem, wish to punish us. They will assume that you, Hashem, must be weak, which is reflected in the horrific catastrophe that fell upon us. In this section, we have begged Hashem to take out his anger on the other nations, to have mercy on us, to save us for the sake of his name. In the final pasuk, we swing back to the positive, reminding Hashem, and perhaps more importantly, reminding ourselves who we are and why we are standing and reciting this mizmor. V'anachnu amcha v'tzon maritecha, nodelecha le'olam, ledor vador, nisaper tehilatecha. But we are your people and the flock that you tend. We will thank you and acknowledge you forever and ever. From generation to generation, we will tell your praise. Let's go back to the psukim that have been incorporated into our Pesach Seder. Shvo chamatcha el hagoyim asher lo yedaucha ve'al mamlachot asher b'shimcha lo karau. Put out your wrath on the nations that did not know you, on the kingdoms that never called you by your name. Ki achal et Yaakov et naveho heshamu, for they have devoured Yaakov and laid waste to his habitation. How did these psukim come to be part of the Pesach Seder? To add to these questions, why do we recite them at this point of the Seder, after the meal? Why are they recited with a fifth cup of wine? And why the specific association with Eliyahu Hanavi? Let's start with the association with Eliyahu. Eliyahu describes himself as a kana'i, a zealot, one who was intent on upholding the honor of Hashem. He demands a drought because the people of the time were worshiping idols. He demands a showdown with the false prophets on Har Carmel to prove that there's only one true God. He complains to Hashem that Bnei Israel have abandoned their covenant and that he, Eliyahu, is the only one left loyal to God. So it makes sense to usher in Eliyahu at the Seder at the time that we are asking Hashem to direct his wrath against those who harm us, against those who undermine the sanctity of his name. Why are these things happening now, at this point in the Seder? The moment right after the meal is also the point where we have just finished eating the afikomen, the piece of matzah that was hidden at the beginning of the Seder. In reality, the afikomen was a portion of the Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb, that had to be consumed on a full stomach. Rabbi Moshe Tzvi Wexler, the head of Yeshivat Bnei Akiva in Bnei Brak, suggests that at this moment we are feeling the loss of the Beit HaMikdash most poignantly. We should be eating roast lamb. Instead, we are consuming more matzah. We mourn the loss of the Beit HaMikdash and hope that Hashem will avenge what the enemies did to us and pray for the final redemption. Pesach marks the time when we were redeemed from slavery in Egypt. Maybe this Pesach we will be redeemed once again. Masechet Sofrim in Perek Yud Chet Halacha Gimel states that it is customary to recite this mizmor also on Tisha B'Av. So we have one mizmor that is recited both on Pesach and Tisha B'Av. What is connection between them? Another interesting fact, The night of the Seder, or the first Seder, for those who are living outside of Israel, is always the same night of the week as Tisha B'Av. Is there ever a holiday that brought the individual and his family to the Beit HaMikdash more than Pesach? Is there ever a holiday where we should feel our loss of the Beit HaMikdash more than at Pesach? We pour a cup of wine for Eliyahu as we recite the psukim that recall the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. We hope that, however, that he will come and herald a redemption, that we will be able to see the building of the third Beit HaMikdash and will once again to be able to partake of the Korban Pesach at the end of our Seder. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.